When I started birding, my 7x50 Bushnell InstaFocus binoculars were everything I wanted and more. They got thousands of hours of use, maybe even tens of thousands of hours, by me and by over 100 kids during my first 2 years of teaching. So it's not too surprising that eventually they got knocked out of alignment. I realized long before that my binoculars were far from the best when I'd taken ornithology at Michigan State during the spring of 1976. After birding for a year, I was asked to co-lead a couple of class field trips, and one perk was being allowed to use the lights binoculars all the teaching assistants got to use. I'll never forget my first glimpse of a Blackburnian warbler through them. The clarity, the brilliance, the color, the view took my breath away. Thanks to their superior optics, every bird looked more splendid through them. But since there was no way we could possibly afford premium binoculars when Russ and I were both students, and then when I was teaching in Catholic schools and he was working on his PhD, I squirreled away the beautiful memories for a time in the murky future when we could afford them. Meanwhile, I'd come to realize that a spotting scope would be very useful. When Russ was searching for one of those for me, he found a good optics retailer in Chicago, Charles W. Maher and Son. When my poor binoculars finally needed to be replaced, that's where we went. We talked to the Son, Carl, who told us that as nice as Light's binoculars were, in his opinion, Zeiss's were even better, and he let me compare them in the store. I agreed. They were totally out of reach as far as our bank account went, but now I had something specific to aspire to. For the time being, I got a pair of Minolta 8x25 pocket binoculars. Russ just found the canceled check from July 1979 for $141.75. That was a lot of money for us back then, but after using my out-of-alignment bins for so long, the new view was great. I never regretted getting them, but now I seriously counsel against getting pocket binoculars for birding. They really don't let in enough light for birding in the woods, at dawn, or in the evening. Back then, my eyes were young, my motivation high, and my pocketbook weak. During the years I was pregnant and with babies and toddlers, my birding travels were curtailed dramatically, though I was as active a local birder as ever. I got my Minnesota list up to 300, doing most of my birding near home. Thanks to all the birding I did close to home back in the 80s, I may be the only person ever to get to 300 on my Minnesota list before I ever saw a cardinal in the state. And I did it all using those pocket binoculars. I wasn't teaching anymore, so I was the only one who used them, and they lasted twice as long as the Bushnells did for the next 9 years as I brought my life list to 480 or so. But I was doing more and more songbird and raptor counting at Hawk Ridge and the Lakewood Pumping Station. Excellent optics are critical when you're staring into the blue sky for 8 hours straight, as I realized after coming home with headaches after counting all day. I squirreled away some money from a cover story I did for Wisconsin Trails magazine, and we finally took the leap, shelling out $800 for a pair of Zeiss 10x40 binoculars in the fall of 1988. I'd been birding for over 13 years before I finally got a premium pair of binoculars, and they were well worth waiting for. They not only gave spectacular views of birds, they also gave me the urge to go through my life list and add a Z next to every species I saw through them. They hardly made me a better birder, but did help alleviate those headaches and really did make it easier to see all the features on tricky birds. I loved them as much as I'd loved my first pair of binoculars, those trusty Bushnell InstaFocuses. My Zeiss's would have been the last pair of binoculars I would ever need for the rest of my life. But then a new development happened in 2005 that changed my relationship to optics forever. I'll talk about that tomorrow. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.